Welcome to the Get Hooked podcast, companion piece for the six-part documentary series exploring the health benefits of fishing and nature for everybody. This isn't your dad's fishing show. We're here for the Get Hooked podcast with Christine from Mindful Fishing. Fishing is obviously a very popular sport among men, but the world knows that. In this series, we're trying to shine a light on other humans' experiences with fishing and nature. That is not to leave men out of the conversation. No, no, no. To the men, we invite you to continue to make fishing and nature a safe space for anyone who has never seen themselves on the cover of a fishing magazine, and welcome. This episode of the Get Hooked podcast is produced by Bonvault Inc. in association with AMI and Out TV, and funded by the Bell Fund and Ontario Creates, and is hosted by actor, writer, and fishing-adjacent producer, Heidi Lynch. That's me. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
Good. Very good.
What is the weather looking like out on the water?
Actually, we still have a little sheet of ice out on the lake. So it's kind of our shoulder season where waiting for the ice to melt so we can get out in the boat. But I'm all ready to go with that. And rods are rigged and boats charged and just waiting. Just a waiting game right now.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm like dying to hear about your ice fishing season and how it went for you. And if you have any like really great stories from this season to share.
Yeah. Well, the fact that there's still ice on the lake in April means that it was a really great season.
We're
on the ice around Christmas time. And my last outing was, you know, mid-March, but that's just for safety reasons. I don't like to go near the end. Some people take risks that I won't, but it was a great ice fishing season. And my first outing was to a back lake, first time targeting brook trout through the ice, and did really well that day. That was a great day. Went with a new friend of mine, and it's just, I just loved it because I've never targeted brook trout, and we were successful, and I got to try them fresh through the ice, and that was great.
The momentum of the season
just carried through, and went on to catch my personal best walleye through the ice on Bay Aquinnie, had our fourth annual ice fishing event for Mindful Fishing on Elbow Lake, just north of Kingston, Ontario. And that went really well. And then I ended the season on finding a new spot location, actually, on my home lake. I don't get to fish my home lake a lot just because you tend to catch a lot of out of season lake trout. And I just don't like doing that. So I tend to go elsewhere.
These are like all the best case scenario fishing things. I know like all great anglers say it's called fishing, not catching, but come on, when you go to target a new species, it's also nice to catch, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. There's a reason I don't like to target muskie because they're the fish of 10,000 casts. And I don't know how people do it. I'm sure the thrill of when you finally catch one is amazing and rewarding, but I just need more rewards than that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. We have an episode coming out today of Get Hooked, the documentary series where they go muskie fishing, but you're going to laugh so hard when I tell you this because we're filming a TV show and not actually getting to just fish for muskie for 2 12-hour days straight. They probably were actively fishing in the boat for like 3 hours and we didn't catch. Yeah. You would be shocked.
We
went with them. This woman named Lisa Goodyear, and she's like she's the best. Like,
yeah, she is the best.
She's so cool. And even just like getting to hear her stories and like, it took a while for her to teach the anglers the technique. It's a totally different way of casting, right? So it was still an amazing day and the weather was great and her boat was really fun.
Yeah.
But it just became clear to me that like you need 2 12-hour days and sometimes you still might not catch.
Nope. And it must be tough being a muskie guide. I had the most respect for Lisa.
Yeah.
But I actually went out with one of my friends. He's one of the volunteers for my program and he's also a muskie guide, but he's on the other side of where I live.
Yeah.
Closer to Belleville, Toronto area. But he's like, you go out on an 8 to 12-hour day and you're targeting a fish that you may or may not catch, but even if you do catch a fish and by the time you reel it in, you unhook it, take your picture, release it, that's fine. But what do you do with the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Cool. So, the point of that was that, you have to fill that space anyway as a guide and you have to be really personable and you have to have good stories, a good boat, good environment, good weather helps. But You know, the actually catching the fish isn't a lot of what they do, right? It's all the other stuff that Lisa fills the time with that makes her so great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree and can really see that. Are you able to tell us a little bit about mindful fishing, like what you created and what you believe in and what you do with it?
Yes, so mindful fishing, it was actually ice fishing where I had my aha moment and my drive to want to share fishing with other first responders. So I was a first responder working in the federal penitentiary system as an acute mental health nurse and crisis negotiator. And I had a lot of roles in there doing, you know, con air inmate flights across Canada. And so sadly, through all that time, I developed my own post-traumatic stress disorder and had to go off work and get my treatment. And near the end of my treatment, and I was going back to work with the police on their mobile crisis response team. I picked up fishing. It was a great memory from my childhood, something I really enjoyed doing in my free time. And I decided to join Ontario Women Anglers, and that was just to get me more opportunities fishing and to learn more. And so I went to their ice fishing event up on Elbow Lake, where I actually host my ice fishing events now. And I had that aha moment just sitting there and watching the fish finder for 8 hours, and nothing was in my brain, like nothing, no intrusive thoughts, no anxiety, no worries about where I was at, if I was safe, the hypervigilance that comes with the disorder. And I really had that moment where there's something magical about this and I need to share this. So I had to figure out how to do that. And I luckily had a lot of access to first responders, just working in corrections, working in the community with the police, working in hospitals. And I, you know, worked alongside firefighters, paramedics, dispatchers, healthcare staff, police officers, correctional officers. And I was like, you guys got to check this out. Like, you got to see what the magic of fishing is really about, especially since I also met a lot of coworkers that also had their own post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm sure.
So at that time, that was about 2019, I was going fishing anyway, and I decided just to kind of put it out there on social media and out publicly, just, hey, I'm going fishing. If you want to come and see what it's about, what it's done for me, how I'm able to get well, I'd love to share it with you. So I started just doing one-on-one sessions with people out on the lake or even shore fishing. And then the following winter started taking people ice fishing. And that was great, but I wanted to still build a bit of a community because that's a big part of your healing when you're trying to get better is being, you lose a sense of belonging when you develop post-traumatic stress disorder. You want to isolate, you want to just disappear from the world. And so it's really important to get back out into society somehow. So to create a safe space for first responders amongst anglers and them, I started hosting annual bass fishing derbies on Charleston Lake where I'm at. And that was a boater volunteer taking a first responder out in the boat for 4 hours. We have a friendly competition. We have a barbecue after, and it's a safe space for people to congregate and to get to know each other. And then future friendships have developed past that. And then I also hold an annual ice fishing event up on Elbow Lake. It's a private lake owned by Queen's University. And that's just an open forum for people to come and try ice fishing. I have volunteers at that event as well. And first responders come and just see what it's like to be out in this vast white space and still connect with nature through the ice. And so that's kind of what it's developed into. And now with mindful fishing, I'm just hoping to try and get fishing recognized as a pure form of therapy amongst the medical field. And I get more first responders fishing as part of their treatment program.
It's just genius because also, I think sometimes, especially when you're dealing with something that's making you feel isolated like that, and, hearing like community will help, but it's really hard to be able to go into a group and talk about your feelings and what you're going through. I think to have fishing as like the connective tissue where you can talk about how to fish or a new technique or what you're targeting or something else to focus on. And then the chat can happen in between, when you're waiting, when you're, it's just such a cool outlet to try to give people that support without it being so confronting that it's too scary to try.
No, that's the great thing about it too, is that even you know, the therapy is happening while you're side by side. Even, you know, I that's what I love about fishing out on the ice. You can sit beside each other and focus on your fish finder. You know, it is impossible. I think it's impossible to ice fish without some form of electronics.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not in front of each other. You're not face to face. Even in a boat, you're sitting side by side. It's an equalizer. And, you know, and that those conversations just happen naturally when people feel they're in a safe space. And you know what? If people don't want to talk and they just want to be present and mindful in the moment and just fish and, you know, watch the waves on the water or watch, you know, nothing when you're out ice fishing and it's just white and peaceful and calm and vast. It's just whatever you want to do. You're still engaged in therapy. You can do it with your family. You can do it with your partner. You can do it on your own.
Yeah.
You can do it within a community. There's just so many great aspects to it. And it's a very versatile form of therapy. It's not confrontational, right? It's not intimidating, and anybody can do it with any sort of skill set.
Definitely. That's just such a cool message. I love that that's the message that you promote and share. And I was curious for you, like, what aspect of the cold do you find so exciting? And what is the difference between ice fishing and fishing in other seasons?
So I wouldn't say it's necessarily the cold that I'm drawn to when I go ice fishing.
But it doesn't deter you. It doesn't, your love of fishing makes you trudge on. Yeah.
I always tell people there's no bad weather. There's just bad clothing. Right. I just don't, you know,
that's
I don't want people
Canadian.
To say,
that's a very Canadian expression. That's really good.
I don't want people to not go fishing because they're afraid of being cold. I'm like, well, you don't have to be cold. I bring a heater. I did invest in good boots and I have my float suit that keeps me warm, and, you know, merino wool is a game changer and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there is something about breathing that cold air into your lungs when you first hit the ice and you're, you know, walking out to your location, and it's crisp and fresh. And just a little side story. I took my kids to New Orleans in November, and of course it's humid and it's muggy and whatever. And my youngest, you know, a couple days into the trip said, "Mom, I miss the air at home. I miss it. Like, I feel like I can't breathe down here."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, I totally get that. It's, we do have very nice, crisp, fresh air, and that winter air it's great to experience." But going back to the question, I think the great thing about ice fishing is, to me, it's the vastness of it. It's going out, and I love when you're overlooking a lake and it's white and there's nothing else. I mean, the wildlife is all migrated. There's nothing hanging around. You might see the odd coyote or deer run across the lake, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But you don't hear birds. You don't hear, you know, motors, and you just don't hear things.
Yeah, the quiet. Yeah.
And it's, is that my dog or yours?
I don't think it's mine, but maybe. I don't know. We love dogs. We love dogs. Big fan of dogs.
I was like, they might look like they're napping, but you're not challenged with, you know, winds and weed and current, and well, you are in a respect, but if you hunker down and you're on your spot on the ice, and, you know, whether you're in a tent or you're outside, if it's a nice, calm enough day, you're just really ruling out a lot of the noise and the stimuli that sometimes you experience in the open water.
Yeah.
It's the most peaceful, it's the most quiet, the vastness, the openness of it, and especially somebody who is working in the prison system for, you know, 20 years. I really crave that. I really crave that openness.
Yeah. The expansive nature of it. That's really, really interesting. If you could go fishing anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Oh, it would be Great Bear Lake for sure in the Northwest Territories.
Cool.
Of course, it was my dad that got me into fishing, and I grew up on Lake Ontario, very lucky for that. But I also got to look at this big lake trout that hung over our fireplace that he caught in Great Bear Lake on this big outing he went on. But that fish was mounted there as a reminder of this great experience he had, right? This great adventure he went on up to Northwest Territories to catch this giant lake trout. And it just brought, you know, mystery to my childhood and this curiosity. And of course, he died at a very young age at 58. And I lost my way at that time. I lost my connection to nature and fishing. And I had to find it later on in life. But I know that it would be there. And of course, catching a huge lake trout in the Northwest Territories would be amazing, but it would also be the connection to my dad, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's so cool. My dad, my whole connection to fishing before making this show and before my partner and her friends got obsessed with fishing was just through my dad fishing at the end of the dock. And, you know, it's not like he excluded me. Like, I would have always been welcome. I think he'd asked me a couple times to cast, and I just wasn't that interested at the time. And then going to him and being like, I'm making a fishing show. Being like, what?
I wasn't that interested in fishing. I love to go with my dad because out of growing up in a family with five kids, I got to do that alone with him.
Yeah.
You know, no other siblings, not my mom. Like, it was just me and him time. So that was the biggest part of it for me then. However, when I started fishing again for therapy, it was a very, very different feeling.
Yeah.
When I truly appreciated what it was to be mindful and to be present in the moment and to feel connected to nature and to have that whole world shut out for you, it became a very different feeling for me. And now it's just, I can't live without it. So
yeah,
I won't.
You don't have to. Yeah. What sort of like, what's your process with mindful fishing when there's a new member, a new person who wants to participate, but they're apprehensive? And they either haven't fished before or their injury just has them in a place where they feel like they can't get outside and join a group. Like, what advice would you give that person?
So there's, you know, the thing about mindful fishing is that I'd say 90% of my work is actually done off the water. It's a lot of preparation beforehand, talking to people, talking, you know, to them about their apprehensions, their worries, working through the barriers, right? Whether it be, you know, travel or physical abilities, or they really want to do it with a friend just to ease into it, or they want to do their background checks and talk to other people, kind of to get their references down, whether it's equipment, skill, what they want to target. Like, there's a lot of discussions that happen before we even get on the water or meet each other. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's self-referral now, or it's a lot like, you know, word of mouth. And when I promote it too much, it gets too big for me and I'm doing this all on my own. So I tend to tone it down. And if I just keep it casual, and it's less intimidating for people that way as well. Right.
Right.
The more I formalized it, the less interest I had. But when it's just a, hey, we're just going fishing, that's all it is. No expectations. We don't have to post on social media. This is a confidential meeting. Of course, we have our safety plan and people know where I am and who I'm with, and vice versa. But it just, you know, the least intimidating it is and the least expectations. And I even had people in the beginning that, you know, silly stuff like, oh, I feel like you're too good, that I wouldn't keep up with you. And I said, well, that's not what it's about. Like, it's, but fishing isn't like that. Like, you're going to learn. And I'm more interested in you catching fish than I am myself. I'm not a guide. I can't promise anybody fish, but
yeah,
I really get more joy from other people catching that magic and that feeling than I've had it over and over again. And I have access to it all the time. I really want to get somebody else hooked on it and to see what it's all about. So a lot of it is just the discussions. Yeah, but I have, you know, a plethora of research I'll send people. Like, I never have to convince anybody that fishing's therapeutic. Everybody knows it is.
Yeah.
Whether you read anything about it or not.
No, definitely. I also find that really interesting, and I don't want to make it a gender thing. And we have some really nice men who are part of Get Hooked, who clearly are focused on the experience of fishing and less focused on like how many fish they're catching and how fast and how big and et cetera. But I would say the mainstream fishing culture that we have in media is focused on that. And it's interesting to hear how that even feeds into these people who have this common ground with you from career or whatever it is, coming into the mindset with you of being like, oh, you're going to be too good, I'm not going to keep up. And you getting to teach them like, that's actually not what mindful fishing is about. And when you're not doing competitions or you're not watching a fishing show, it really feels like most actual fishing is not about that either. Like, you really do see people bringing a cool picnic, having a great chat, and fishing. But I'm just curious because that, you know, that doesn't get represented in the media as much. It was like really cool to come across articles about mindful fishing when I was doing research before, and just to be like, oh, this is, you know, I kind of interpret it as a feminist approach because I do think there is something about you being a woman leading it with a new perspective in a different angle. And it's just really beautiful that you get to open up people's eyes. And I was curious, like in general, is it more men that are coming to mindful fishing? Do you see a group of women coming out, or how does that representation look?
I almost think it's 50-50.
Cool.
You know, and I think being a woman definitely is an advantage in this role. You know, I think society still views women as caregivers. You know, we're the provider of life. A lot of nurses are women. So I think that approach makes it very, you know, yeah, it's not intimidating, right? A woman. I don't know that it would be well at all if it was a male doing it. I just don't think it would. And that's just because I myself as a woman, I wouldn't reach out to a man and be like, hey, will you take me fishing? And because then there's just a whole other, well, you know, there's just
dynamic,
other stuff that happened.
Dynamic. Yeah.
And it's happened with me even where I've had men in the early years when, you know, I wouldn't say I was less lenient on like my boundaries and what I expected of people. But there was a couple times where the conversations went a little sideways and I realized mid trip that their intentions with me were a little different than just therapy.
Right.
You know, and I was like, hey, I'm not into this. And so it's very clear to me that if I'm taking you fishing, you know, your wife needs to know about it.
Yeah.
That's a big one for your partner. You know, and this is not, although this can be a confidential outing, it's not a private one, and people are going to, our, you know, our close people are going to know about it.
Yep. Definitely.
But yeah, so there has been challenges that way as a female angler, but, no, for the most part, I think that if people are coming with the right intention and they want to do it for their wellness, being a woman has really been an advantage in getting people out.
Yeah, I think it is just, you know, it's the same with our series Get Hooked. It's not, you know, again, there's wonderful men who are a part of it, but the whole kind of story is told through a female perspective of someone excited and like newer getting into the sport and experiencing new things. And it's just a side of the sport that we don't see often in fishing shows or on television. And I think, you know, we talk about this in other media and like narrative TV shows, but it's like, see it, be it, it's the expression where I think it, sometimes we just do need to see ourselves in a space to feel like that space is for us. And I think it's just really cool what you're carving out with mindful fishing, in terms of mental health and being a female angler. And I think it's super important.
Yeah. Going on with that too, I really think it's important that women do become more independent in this sport. I see a lot of women in competitive fishing, or they rely on their boyfriends to take them out, or I can't go fishing because I can't back the boat in. My boyfriend does that for me, or my husband, or whatever. And I think, oh, that the best thing I ever did for myself was learn how to do it myself, right? Yeah. I can trailer my boat and I can put it in and I can, you know, rig my own rods, like take the fish off the hook, whatever little things people need other people to do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am a big promoter of women learning to do it themselves. That's why I'm a big fan of Ontario Women Anglers. It's a safe space for women to go and learn how to do this stuff themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not relying on anybody else for your own wellness is the biggest thing. You have control then of your treatment, and when you need to go, you can go, and that's all on you. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and super empowering when you're coming from a disempowered place to have this safe space like mindful fishing to go and learn these tools and to learn that like you can take yourself out and receive the benefits from this.
Yeah, I've even had some men ask me to teach them how to trailer a boat.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they're like, I would never ask another guy. I can't admit that I don't know how to do this. I should know how to do this. My dad should have taught me, or whatever their apprehensions are.
So silly.
Are. And it's like, no judgment here, right? That's fine. Let's go do it. I have some private parking lots I can teach you. And yeah, it's funny. Some even men have, they've had to hang their heads a little bit and say, I can you teach me how to back my boat in?
It's badass. I think that's the mark of a great man when they realize there's a skill a very skilled woman has that they'd like to learn. Great. I think that's like that was the coolest part of making Get Hooked, was putting people who are from all different walks of life into different fishing situations. And the like passion of the sport inspires people for this knowledge sharing. They just share knowledge freely because they're all excited, where I feel like we're used to this really transactional kind of way of operating, but it's like just really sweet to get a group of people who love fishing together and to swap stories and experience and skills. And
all my volunteers, actually the boaters and that I have, they're all males, and they are just the most fantastic people. I would love to have a female come and run their boat and take a first responder with them. I just don't really have any in the area that have the free time and are willing to do that. There's obviously a lot more men to choose from in the field, but they're a special kind of breed, right? And they're giving their time and their energy and just sharing their passion with a first responder. And it's just, nothing makes me happier. I just can't even believe the joy and the reward it brings me when I have these events and I see people out there just for the same cause. And and we're all just equals that day. And it's great.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of chat going on in the media about toxic masculinity right now because of a certain TV show that came out. And it is just really wonderful to see these moments where men kind of take up the mantle too and help other men with their mental health. And I think what you do is incredible. And I think it's incredible that you have this male team of volunteers. I think it shows that they are inspired by and excited to follow a female leading them in this initiative, and that they're prioritizing taking time out to help other people with their mental health. I think it's, you know, kind of the only way forward for all of us.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah. It's really cool. Okay. Amazing. Well, I just think you're a confirmed badass, and I hate that we didn't get to film together on season one. And I'm like praying I get money for season two and get to showcase your amazing work with Mindful Fishing. But I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much, Heidi.
You can check out the documentary series Get Hooked in Canada on AMI TV, AMI Plus, and on OutTV.com in Canada, the US, Australia, and New Zealand. You can get those through Apple TV and Amazon Prime. On Outflix.com in the UK and Ireland, and on Outflix via Lenti in Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. Lastly, fish on, shoot on, or tree on. Whatever you do to get your nature kicks, just get outside and enjoy it. Thanks.